How do you have peace when you get betrayed by someone close to you? Or you don't know how you're gonna pay the next bill?
How does peace exist in a world of conflict and turmoil?
Bring it on all day.
Hey friends, welcome to Improve This, powered by Lock and Ladder. I'm John Strand, and today we're going to talk about guarding your peace, and we're going to talk about some real examples, and we're going to talk about one of the hardest things possibly to do, which is guard your peace, which is not something I do super well all the time, but I think there are steps that we can all be taking together to do a better job and to get a little more centered and to get a little more level and to have more joy, more fulfillment in spite of all the chaos and even during the chaos. Hope you find this encouraging.
Interesting meeting for today because I was totally going to go a different direction with the meeting. I got jacked up watching Arnold Schwarzenegger documentaries and Conor McGregor documentaries, and I was like, yeah, let's talk about that. And we will probably get there because there's some incredible messaging and principles. And then I was going to show some clips and everything from these films. And I sat down this morning and just kind of was meditating, asking the universe, what should I talk about? And peace was just glaring in front of me. I want to talk about peace, not world peace, internal peace. The theme of the meeting today is guard your peace. I think this is important because, well, one, my disclaimer, this has been a lifelong struggle for me. I don't have this figured out. I don't have it nailed. It probably will continue to be a lifelong struggle for me. So this meeting is probably just as much for my own sort of processing than anything. I think I'm making strides there. And I definitely think it's critical that we sort of have this on our minds, especially with where we're at in the company, some of the early stages, and then just, you know, in our own lives. Like, this is something I truly want for each of you. Like, this is something that, man, when you get those moments of peace, it is everything. So, you know, think about internal peace, that calm, that quiet. Think about the times you've had that peace where you just know, you're like, I am zen. I am so zen right now. I am at one with the universe. The dictionary definition, this is funny, every time I looked up, I went through several different ones. The dictionary.com is the one I wrote down, but it's usually 5, 6, or 7 definitions down that you get to anything that talks about internal peace. All the main definitions are dealing with war and, you know, the lack of conflict. And I think that's interesting because at the end of the day, I mean, it is a war in your mind. Right? It's a war in your soul. And there's kind of a constant back and forth to be aware of. But I like this 6th definition on dictionary.com. Freedom of the mind from annoyance, distraction, anxiety, obsession, etc. Freedom of the mind from annoyance, distraction, anxiety, and obsession, etc. Tranquility or serenity. And I read that and I go, is that even possible? Is that, I mean, I think of all the distractions, annoyances, anxiety-producing things that daily, minute by minute, take away my peace, you know? The dog has been driving me crazy lately with antics and just the worries of the company and the marketing and the recruiting and the getting the blogs done and the website. I mean, there's a million things just right there. And then just my own sort of things I want to get done and accomplish from an art standpoint, from a money standpoint. We'll get into more of those. But I mean, there are so many things that I feel like you just sort of lose that base. I love this quote by Alanis Morissette. Peace of mind for 5 minutes. That's what I crave. Do you ever go into vacation mode where like you go on vacation and you're on the beach? And I think this is part of why people love the beach. You lay down, the sun hits you, you're basking. You have this temporary, you just let go, right, of everything. And you sort of, it's this whole body experience almost, and you're just sitting there and nothing matters, nothing's important. You're just, you kind of feel this like drop in your body, like this healthy, you know what I'm saying? When you're laying in that lounger and you're just doing nothing and there's no stresses, no worries. And there's that peace. That vacation mode, that vacation body feeling, I think needs to be a bigger part of our day-to-day or more consistent in our lives. I was thinking about, like, do you even know anybody at peace? Like, this feels like an impossible thing, right? Outside of that 30 minutes in the chair, hour of the chair on vacation, like, do you even know anybody who, like, that is a peaceful man, that is a peaceful woman, that person is so zen.
It's real wisdom.
Yeah.
Like real older people, I feel like. You know?
Yeah. Right? So, yeah, I was thinking, I don't hang out with too many monks, but what does it even mean? And then how does it exist when you lose your job? How do you have peace when you get betrayed by someone close to you? I mean, let's get real for a second. When you're taking on a monumental task, when you're worried about your children's well-being, when your child gets diagnosed, when you're in turmoil from world events, when you look at what's happening and your whole body revolts against that news, when your parents are driving you crazy, when you experience the death of a pet or a loved one, or you don't know how you're going to pay the next bill, you don't know where you're going to live. You get tied up in a lawsuit, or you lose a sale to a competitor, or you're late in traffic. How does peace exist in a world of conflict and turmoil? How do we find it, let alone maintain it? Before we get into some of the how, I want to talk about why is this important. One, I think your level of internal peace, that baseline, it affects your ability to be present. It affects your health. And I'm not going to go through all the ways anxiety screws up your health, because that like makes me feel anxious. It's like makes the problem worse. And believe me, preparing for this meeting, I looked it up, and it's bad news, guys. It is a litany of diseases, but it's kind of stressful just knowing that your level of peace affects your decision making. It affects how you respond to things. It will shape your day. In some cases, it'll affect your ability to even act. It affects your sleep. It affects your happiness. It will affect relationships. Bottom line, it affects your happiness. It affects your overall fulfillment. Now, I also want to say I'm not really talking about contentment here, because I like being discontent. I think there's a healthy level of not being satisfied, right? I mean, somebody was discontent at one point with the way we got around and thought horses were inefficient and came up with, they created a wheel and put a motor to it. We got transferred. I mean, some of the best advances in any field come from like a healthy level of discontent. There's a healthy level of discontent that, well, I'm hungry, I need food, I'm going to eat now. There's a healthy level of trying to build things. what I'm actually talking about is like you can be discontent in a healthy way and have peace. Be discontent and at peace at the same time. What I'm talking about is freedom from being ruled by stress. Freedom from anxiety or fear. How do you do that? I put together a list of my sort of top 10 things to give you some context on where like this list is coming from. Here is one of many journals. Most of my journals are down at the recording studio, but these, I kind of want to burn them so my kids don't ever read these. I look back and I'm like, man, what a mess. Just a mess. I've been, you know, this one's from 2003, 20 years old, and it's just page after page of angst and anxiety. And, you know, I've struggled with depression. That's a whole nother thing. And I feel like I've done some of the hard things, some of the painful things well, and then I've also done them really poorly. So let me, I guess, just give you some real examples. One, as I've gone through the whole house move, that was incredibly stressful, incredibly like rob you of your peace type thing. We weren't gonna sell our house. We had talked about like, maybe we're ready for a change. And then someone came and knocked on our door, wanted to buy it. And I said, it's not for sale, but it can be bought. And sort of they made us an offer we couldn't refuse. Ignorantly, I was like, well, we'll rent and then we'll find something. And then I had no idea how hard it would be to even find a rental that made any sort of sense, because it would have made me sick to my stomach to go rent a house that cost more than our mortgage with less space, right? Less things, less amenities. Anyway, I went through a bunch of anxiety on that. And at the same time, I had all this anxiety of the Altfors Ferry of the Sweden show, because that was touch and go on, is this going to happen? So this is what, 2021? And 2020 was the first time I'd found out that I had been selected on the show. And then COVID hits and then the world shuts down. So you got this big existential world crisis going on. You're wondering, like, is this most amazing adventure even going to happen? We're trying to find a place to rent. And we're also stressed about money. I think the company had just sold, but I didn't, you know, it's not retirement levels check that I got from that. Man, I feel like there were six or seven other things just really kind of all bearing down at the same time. Fast forward, we find a rental, a two-bedroom that our friends had. And so we put all three kids in one room. We had the other room. It was very cozy for a year. It was awesome, actually. And like really, really will cherish the memories we had there, despite it being very tight. And then we go to get a new place. And it's like, we're putting 50% down. We've got insane credit. Like Natalie's like an 800. And because there's no, you know, I'm doing consulting in Chicago at the time, because there's no actual like W-2 or sustained quote unquote income, despite 15 years of great tax returns, not a single bank will touch me. And then at the same time, I think we were getting whispers of the consulting gig's gonna go away because that whole debacle. And at the same time, I'm in a huge lawsuit and I'm the good guy in the lawsuit, right? And then there's other like sort of potential litigation coming. And man, even if you're on the good side of a lawsuit, that is one of the most stressful things you can go through. And so it's all just kind of bearing down at once. I remember thinking we were gonna get this house. We'd been pre-approved because of all the other great factors, and then find out, nope, not gonna happen. And I had like borderline panic attack. I was in the Chicago office, no one was there, and I hit the floor. Overwhelmed in my body level stress, where I literally dropped to my knees and I had to let go. And just, you know, I prayed, I just gave it up to the universe. I'm like, this is all completely out of my control. I gotta let go, take me where you want. If it's supposed to be, it will be, and if it's not, we'll be okay. And then I had to do Wim Hof breathing just to get my body under control. I don't even know if I'm doing it justice how physically, mentally stressful that phase was. I remember there were like 5 or 6 or 7 things where I just kept thinking, if we could just get past this and this and this, if I could get like 3 of those out of the way, oh my God. And that was a real pivotal turning point for me, where there was something that happened where I started to let that calm come in the midst of like some despairing sort of situations. And there were some things that went really well, and there was some news we got that was just terrible news. And I remember calling Charles on one of them, and I was like, I just feel really calm right now. I don't know why, but everything's gonna be fine. I know everything's gonna be fine. That was a long, arduous, intense, days, weeks long process of meditating, creating time, creating space, breathing, and letting go. I've been through situation after situation after situation like that. When we built Apex up and went national, I mean, every time you're opening a new city, or when you reboot Kansas City for the third time, or when you have people just stab you in the back in business, or, I mean, I've been through some excruciating situations that should rob you of your peace, and sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. So it's been sort of this process, and I don't want to sugarcoat or pretend like any of this message is going to be easy for anybody to apply. But I do know, based on experience, that you can take step after step after step forward, and you can start to build a little foundation where those storms just don't shake you as much. Where that pain, even though it's real and it's deep and you can barely breathe, you still have this sense like it's okay. So this is kind of where that list is coming from. So number one, identify. What is robbing you of your peace right now? Identify that. Name it. It might be 15 things. Might be that your dog just won't stop peeing on the nice wood floor, ruining it. He's a good dog. He's just old. Identify what's robbing you of your internal peace. That's going to be one of the starts. Number two, let go of control. Say it out loud. Control is an illusion. I mean, we think we have our lives together. It is held together by such a thin piece of string. And just wait till someone you love's ripped out of it. I mean, I'm not wishing that on anybody, you know, but those major storms, it's part of our experience as humans. It's coming. It's not something to despair about. But on a dime, everything can change. I studied chaos theory in college, and we did that in the context of a lot of literature, and Shakespeare really like understood chaos theory and nailed this like illusion of control. And so all throughout his plays, you see that the one who's trying to control the most ends up being controlled the most. The one who has the tightest grasp on every little thing is usually the one that ends up with the greatest calamity. And so there's a healthy level of recognizing like, hey, I don't actually have this in control. When you can start to let go of that and recognize that that's not for you to worry about, I think there's a level you could start to let go of some anxiety, because trying to hold it all together, trying to have control of all the details only breeds anxiety. Number three, get proper sleep. If you're off chemically from a lack of sleep, good luck. Your anxiety levels will be heightened. Your fear will be heightened. I've experienced this. I still continue to. I mean, the days when I've had the least sleep are the days when all the problems are just overwhelming. So get proper sleep. Number four, chip away at problems. You know, I'm not saying it's this blind, like, oh, I'm going to be at peace and then everything will work out. It's like, no, then we're going to take action. We're going to chip away at those problems. I love that quote. I don't know who said it. I saw this in music where they were talking about musicians they typically overestimate what they can accomplish short term, and then they underestimate what they can do in the long term. There's a lot of stress that comes with that and anxiety because you get overwhelmed. I mean, the amount of work it takes to climb a mountain, but they underestimate the long term. So if you chip away, chip away, chip away, chip away, you take one step, then you take another step, then you take another step. You know, they underestimate where they are going to be 2 years from now if they keep just moving forward slowly. I've had this happen with, there's a female artist I'm working with who's just incredible vocals, incredible voice. And she came into the studio probably a year and a half ago, and we worked on like her first track. And it's been super slow for a variety of reasons. You know, neither of us are full time. We haven't released any of her music yet. We're going to, and we're wrapping up some songs. And she was in the studio the other day, and we're closing in on having like 5 songs finished. And she's like, man, it's felt so slow, but we've got an EP done. And I think we wanted it done in like 4 months or 3 months, you know, but we have taken baby step after baby step after baby step. And now we're going to have something cool to show the world. When you're building a company like this and your other people are counting on you and they're looking to you to have all the things done, I'll lay in bed at night and my mind will just start to race. It just starts to go 1,000 miles an hour, and I'm thinking about emails and automations and training and presentations and product and marketing ideas and what we need to do on social media. I mean, there's just a million things to get done. All the financial aspects of it, incredibly stressful, right? I mean, money is just such a huge stressor, I think, for everybody, at least at some point. And so I have that moment where I like literally draw a boundary, and this should probably be on the list. Maybe this will be number 11, but there's sort of a boundary where I'm like, nope, it's bedtime. I'm not going to think about that right now. This is a time for sleep, not work. And I also let go. I kind of draw this boundary and I'm like, this is not my company anyway. There's bigger forces that are guiding this whole thing. I'm going to put all the work I can into it, but we're building something much bigger than me, and this isn't, I don't have to have that stress. Rome wasn't built in a day. Number 5, watch what you put in your mind. This is a theme that I'm going to repeat a lot because it applies to so many areas of life. Watch what you put in your mind. If you allow a bunch of negative stuff, stress-inducing stuff, I mean, all you got to do is spend 3 hours on the news every day and you will be a total train wreck because it's a lot of doom and gloom. The economy, wars. I'm not saying don't be informed, but man, just be aware of how much of that you're taking in, because a lot of the sensational stuff that's meant to just grab you, it's not helpful. Number 6, gratitude and thankfulness. I was really impressed on the Conor McGregor documentary, say what you will about that guy, but they're kind of raw about how he was a very terrible person. You saw it, like he went dark on this one fight, like really, yeah, just saying terrible things. And he gets beat, and it was sort of this reset and this check for him. And he, his next fight, the whole team was like, he has changed, like his energy is different, his attitude's different. He comes into the fight very positive. And the thing he said that struck me is like, I just am grateful all the time and I take time to be grateful for the things I have now. He goes, and it's crazy because then more things come to me. He said, but you could tell like he is genuinely, and I don't know what kind of a man of character he is or isn't, but I loved how, like, it was clear that was a genuine statement. Like, he is genuinely grateful for his partner. He's genuinely grateful for his kids. He was genuinely grateful for the first 60K he made on his first big fight. And he takes time to just be grateful for the current apartment that he has. And you saw this like monster when he got away from that. And then when he kind of came back to some of those roots, different attitude. So number seven, focus on others. Shift your focus. If you're anxious and overwhelmed and you have no peace, we are probably a little too focused on ourselves. And this is where I think service is great. Take some time to just go serve someone else. Serve someone who is not in a good situation or in worse of a situation than you. Focus on that person in front of you and being present for them. Number eight, right-size it. Sometimes the service will actually help you right-size it. This probably comes from some child psychology thing because Natalie brought this into the house where we tell the kids, hey, we need to right-size this. It's okay that you're feeling what you're feeling because that's very real, but let's right-size it now, okay? Gain some perspective. How big of a deal is this in the grand scheme? I think when you start to right-size it, you can go, okay, I'm going to be okay. This sucks, but I'll be okay. We'll get through it. Number nine, talk to somebody or journal at the very least, but man, talking through, voicing it, getting it out there. Do not bottle it up and let all the stress of whatever the situation is or whatever the pain is, don't bottle that up. Number 10, take some time to sit in silence daily. This is one I'm just going to repeat over and over and over. Sit in silence daily, breathe. The Wim Hof stuff is such a physical reset. It's crazy. You know, and there's other breathing coaches out there or yoga. But find that kind of body reset. It could be exercise. I'll add number 11 to the list because this was heavy in the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing. And this goes along with like the chip away at problems, but move forward. Just take steps. Keep moving forward. Keep some momentum forward. Forward motion. I'm going to read a Bible verse, which I'm always hesitant to do in these meetings because if you know me, you know I've got some church pain. But this is fantastic. Pretend it wasn't. If you have an issue with it being in the Bible, pretend it wasn't from the Bible and just listen to these words. This is out of Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. If you have trouble with the word God, just universe, right? Present your requests to the universe. Out of my top 10 list of things, be anxious for nothing, prayer and petition, that meditation with gratitude. And I've always liked this concept, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. I like that concept of like, there's a peace that passes understanding. It doesn't make sense because the storm is so big. The pain is so real. The boat is rocking. It you know, seems like you're going down. And it wouldn't make sense to be calm in that situation. It wouldn't make sense to have that internal, like it's going to be okay. And then you get into verse 8, and I like this. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. And those are strong words. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. I mean, there's a couple quick little life hacks in there. I like this quote from the Dalai Lama. Do not let the behavior of others destroy your inner peace. Do not let the behavior of others destroy your inner peace. I'm not so great at that. But I like that. It goes along with the, are you guys familiar with the four promises? Highly recommend. Look those up. It's just four sort of promises you make to yourself. I've got them on a poster in the back towards the garage, but I don't have them memorized either. That's why I have them on a poster. But, you know, I think number one is like be impeccable with your word. And then it talks about why. And then it's number two is don't take anything personally. And it talks about how the actions of others have to do with their own agenda, their own issues, their own beliefs and vision and goals for their life. You know, so don't take anything personally. Don't let the behavior of others destroy your inner peace. And these are life hacks because we let behavior of others mess with us all the time. I do. Someone cuts you off and then flips you off in traffic and you're like, ah, suddenly raging. Someone does you bad in business, suddenly raging, right? Someone tells a lie about you or spreads an unkind word about you. Don't let the behavior of others destroy your inner peace. And when you start to live that way, you start to live at a higher level. Like you're at a higher level of emotional intelligence and you actually start to move into a place of power. I liked this quote from Lao Tzu, who's an ancient Taoist philosopher. If you're depressed, you're living in the past. If you're anxious, you're living in the future. If you're at peace, you're living in the present. That's powerful. Almost sounds too intense. I mean, as someone who's struggled with depression, and there is the chemical aspect of that, but if you're depressed, you're living in the past. If you're anxious, you're living in the future. If you're at peace, you're living in the present. And I think that's a really nice guidepost and guideline. Know that it's okay. That peace, I think, will ebb and flow. Know that it's okay if you struggle with that. I think we're all in the same boat here. I think it's good to name it. And I think it's good to be intentional about taking steps forward on, I'm going to be on a path to peace. And I'm going to trust. You know, that's probably the biggest lesson I've learned over the past like 3 or 4 years as I've gone through these intense, stressful situations is to trust, to let go and trust. And then step forward and man, doors just open. And I think you'll find that you'll get just better and better, as I mentioned before, better and better at that. That anxiety just won't rule you as much. And I think that's what we're after. So, go in peace. Peace be with you. And also with you.
Bring it on all day.